Well, the great news about the dad joke segment is it only makes me look better. So thank you guys. Thank you for setting me up. Just knock it out of the park. Okay, today I want to talk about one simple truth. One simple truth. Here it is. You can be the hero you desire to be. You can be the hero you desire to be. Say this with me. I can be the hero I desire to be. You know, several years back, I heard a pastor, a man that I think many of us pastors across the world look up to, just doing incredible work for the Lord, a man who's been so faithful to his family and yet done so much in the kingdom of God. And he said these words. He said, I have made this commitment and I've told people that I will never be unfaithful to my wife. And some people will say, like, well, yeah, but how do you know? Like, you're a human. And you fail, and you have weaknesses. And he said, no, you don't understand me. I will never be unfaithful to my wife. Because to say anything else means that you've left another option on the table.
Wow. Right.
To say anything else only sets you up for the possibility of failure.
That's right. Yeah.
And what I have decided is that in my kids' life, my kids' lives, I will be the hero of their lives. I am going to be the hero in their life. And to say anything else puts another option on the table.
Wow.
To say anything else sets me up for failure. And I am very aware of my weaknesses. But with God, by God's grace, I'm going to lean in and I'm going to be there and I'm going to lead them and I'm going to be a man of integrity and a man of prayer and a man in God's word. And when I fail, I'm going to apologize. When I fail again, I'm going to apologize. And there is not another option on the table. And I know that it's Father's Day, but this message applies to every single person sitting in this room. I'm going to be speaking a lot to fathers, but there are mothers, there are single people, there are teenagers, there are all kinds of people in this room. And whatever it is that you desire to be, I hope that if you're in here, you're saying, I just want to be what God wants me to be. And God has you to be a hero in somebody's life. And so I just want us to own that today, to say, I can be the hero, the person that I desire to be and that God desires me to be. And we're going to be looking out of Hebrews chapter 11 in the first six verses. Hebrews 11 is often called the Hall of Faith, kind of like the Hall of Fame. But let's go ahead and read Hebrews 11, 1 through 6 together. Here's what it says. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. I love that word, ancients. It just sounds so epic. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. Don't worry, we're going to bring some light to that. By faith, he was commended as righteous. And when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone that comes to him must believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, when it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. We talked about this a little bit on Wednesday in our prayer service just up in the Life Center. If you're ever interested in just a midweek, you want to come and you want to worship and be with your family and hear God's word, I just want to encourage you to come to the prayer service. We lift up the needs in our community. We pray for other churches every couple of weeks. We lift up pastors in other churches and we contact them and ask them, what can we pray for you about? Because when they win, we win. Amen. But we were talking about this idea of faith, and we were talking about the gift of faith. But as we were looking at faith, I just think it's important to remind us that faith is not just some well-wishing. In the words there, actually talks about a foundation, a substructure, something that actually exists. And what we're saying is there are hopes that are out there, but with faith, the hope is so real. And what God has promised us is so real, it's almost like we can grab it. And that's what faith really is. I love this quote by a pastor. It says this: what is authentic faith? The cultivation of an optimistic outlook on life with a kind of spirituality attached to it? A holy hoping for the best? Is this how you think of faith? Faith is not a mindless stab in the dark. It is not a crossing of the fingers and just hoping for the best. It is not a leap into apparent nothingness. It's a word that speaks of reasoned, careful, deliberate, intentional thought. But thought upon what? God and his promises. Authentic faith is not merely believing in God. It is believing God. Taking God at his word. Living in obedience to his word, whatever the cost. Because you know down deep in your bones that God will always do what he says. That his speaking is his doing. Your faith instinctively strengthens in direct proportion to the expansion of the object of your faith. And it says this: the object of your faith, if indeed you are a Christian, is Jesus Christ and all of his promises. What it's simply saying is that if you want your faith to increase, increase your understanding of who God is. Because your faith is not, I hope it all works out. Your faith is, God told me, here's what's going to happen. Here's what he's promised me. He's promised me he won't leave me or forsake me. He promised me he's given me everything I need today to do everything that he's called me to do. And it's saying that as I understand that more clearly, my faith is strengthened more and more. That I don't just have to hope, I can know because God said, here's how it is. Here's what it is. And I can stand on that. That is faith. Hebrews 11:2 goes on to say that this is what the ancients were commended for. I love the way another translation says it. It says, men of old obtained a good report by faith. I just love that word, men of old. Men of old obtained a good report by faith. And I figured since it's Father's Day, we can talk about our old man. I actually sent my dad a text today. I don't normally call him old man, but for sake of the message, I was like, happy Father's Day, old man. But my old man, that's who I want to talk about for a moment today. I want to give you a few keys to being an old man with a good report. An old man with a good report by faith. Here's the first thing. Know where you came from. Know where you came from. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. I think before we give attention to where we're going, we have to make sure we understand where we came from. Because where we're going is given definition by knowing where we came from. Because if we just exist in this world thinking that we are all that it is, we're not going to be able to follow God effectively. But if we can understand, like it said, that the universe was formed at his command. And when I'm talking about where you come from, I don't necessarily mean where you come from geographically. I don't necessarily mean where you come from economically. I don't mean that what brokenness or dysfunction may have existed in your home when you were growing up in it. I'm talking about your source. Beyond any of that, beyond any of the circumstantial stuff, beyond any of the things that you faced in your household, I'm talking about where you come from. Because no matter the circumstance of your birth or your early development or life or even where you find yourself today, you were formed and you were fashioned by the hands of God. And the Bible says you had good works prepared for you before you even took your first breath. And some of you need to let that free you today. Because you gave up on the idea of being what you desired to be, thinking you were just going to have to settle for what everybody else in your family was. And I'm not saying that the circumstances of our upbringing and the things that we go through don't have an effect on the person that we're becoming, but what I'm saying is that some people think that because of whatever they came up in, whatever the trend was in their house, the way their dad acted or the way their mom acted or the way their siblings were and what they did to them, that they're going to be stuck in this cycle of dysfunction. And what we have to remind ourselves is that our shortcomings can't be long-term excuses. the things that we have grown up under, if we have, if you didn't come out of the most positive household, and some of those things that you feel like, man, came from mom or came from dad or came from the circumstances you grew up under, what I'm telling you today is you can be freed from that having to control your life. Because remember, you can be the hero you desire to be. And you can't let those shortcomings become your long-term excuses. Today is the day that that's done. And the day that you decide that's done is the day you can start making steps forward. And so I'm just, man, I just feel that in my heart. Today, someone has to make the decision. It's going to be different. It's going to be different for me. It's going to be different for my household. It's going to be different for my family. We serve a God who makes us new creations in Christ Jesus. And you need to hold on to that today. You can be the hero you desire to be. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You know, other translations say that the universe was framed. I don't know why. It just makes me think of frame. I understand it's a Madonna thing, but it thinks of framed. Other translations say the universe was framed by the word of God. And if the universe has been framed by the word of God, then we have to make sure we're viewing it through the frame of God's word. If everything was framed by the word of God, we have to make sure that everything we're viewing through the frame of God's word. We have to know where we came from. He either made the universe and everything in it and you, and he understands all of the workings of it, or he doesn't. And I'm here to tell you today that he does. And this is the foundation. If you want to be the hero you desire to be, you can't be operating out just thinking whatever you want and doing whatever you want and deciding the rules ourselves. The rules have been set for us. The way things work have been set for us. You know, it's funny. I've put a lot of furniture together in my life. Anyone else? Raise a hand. Anybody else put a lot of IKEA furniture together with those silly little, you know, the Allen wrenches that are so tiny that by the end your fingers are bleeding? I just wised up a long time ago and just got a drill bit with the thing on it, you know. Just wah, wah, wah. You got to be careful with IKEA furniture, though. You'll run it straight through the other end. When we had our first child, Brendan, who's 7 now, and we lived in Savannah, and we lived on the third floor of an apartment building, you know, no elevator or anything. And we came home from Christmas, and, you know, we basically got kind of new bedroom furniture. He was getting to the age that we were getting ready to move him into his own room with a crib and all that. So we had this bedroom furniture that was a crib, a changing table, and a dresser all in one box. And the box was like this thin. I mean, it was incredible. But it was about 7 feet tall and probably like 4 feet wide. And so we get home at, I don't know, midnight or something in Savannah, and I'm just determined that I'm going to put this stuff together tonight. Now. It's happening. So, you know, we just made the four and a half hour drive from Atlanta, from Douglasville to Savannah, and we kind of get stuff, and we take it upstairs, and then I'm left with the box. And Charity can't help me. Or maybe it's before we even had Brendan. You were pregnant, so you definitely couldn't help me. Gosh, I think you still could have helped me. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Don't do that. I do not advise that. I'm not a doctor, neither do I play one, but please. And so basically, I get this box, and I drag it across the parking lot, and I get to the first flight of stairs. And they're the kind that go up, you know, and then the next up, and then up. And so basically what I'm doing is somersaulting this box end over end, and it is super heavy. It's one of the few times in my life I really thought I could die. Because at one point, I'm just like, and I feel it coming back, and I don't know what I'm going to do, and I was able to man up and just somersault this thing all the way up the stairs. And then the only TV we had was in our living room, and so I decided, you know, what better thing to do than put on the Lord of the Rings, and because, you know, they're 3 or 4 hours each, plenty of time. And so I put on Lord of the Rings, and I put all this furniture together, and I feel great. So then I go to move the crib into the room. I learned a very important lesson that day. Should typically put the furniture together in the room it's going to go into. So then I had to disassemble all the furniture. But I'm a man. So I said, I'm going to put this furniture together tonight. And I knew much better. I knew some of the mistakes I made. I could put things in the actual right place they went the second time around. The other time, I actually had a near-death experience yesterday. Our sons have a bunk bed, and it's a great beginning to the story. And I'm on the lower bunk, and one, my oldest son, Brendan's kind of mouthing off to me, and like, a, you know, we're playing against each other type thing. And I was like, well, let me show you my skills. And so I'm sitting on the bottom bunk. I grab the railing to the top bunk, and I proceed to flip myself. You know, the idea was that it'd be a, this is what it would look like. It worked really good in my mind. And so I somersault. I never even told you the story of why I was yelling for you, and you never came to me, help me. And so I somersault myself back over, and at, however it is, the bar to the bed is right here, and that's as far over as I could get. So my legs are all the way on the bed, and you'd think I could just pull myself up, but I'm just hanging, and for some reason I have no ability. Whatever angle I'm at, I cannot get myself up. And so I'm just hanging, and I'm so scared the bed's about to go, you know, with me on the other side. And so eventually I managed to get myself up after a good 5 minutes. Once all the blood had rushed to my head and I had a fight or flight deal going on there. And the adrenaline, no, I was not joking. I rarely yell for your assistance. So next time, just know that you might be a single mother if you don't come help me. Because I would die. Not... So, that being said, we were putting a stroller together the other day. We were putting a stroller together on Friday. And it's very simple. There's like one bar with two wheels and two other wheels and a couple of little tray things. And the funny thing was, I was kind of letting Charity do it because she was excited about it. I ended up putting it together, but I was letting her kind of do it at first. And there were two times she said to me, I know, I'm like, I promise I'm not angry at you. I haven't had good material like this in a while, so I'm just taking advantage of it. Well, there goes my Father's Day. And so basically two times she said, hey, how do you do this? And I said, have you read the instructions? Both times. And here's the thing. It's not because I'm smarter, and it's not necessarily because I'm more humble. It's just that I've made enough dumb decisions and not exercised enough humility in putting together plenty of things to just know I go to the instructions first. I'm not the guy, I still have trouble asking for directions, but thankfully I don't have to ask a person anymore. I can ask Siri. So that's fine with me. But I just know when I get something out of the box now, the first thing I do is I read the instructions. Because the person that made it knows exactly how it goes together. And so why waste my time? Why put something together? And some of us are wondering why our lives are looking like a Picasso. Because we're trying to put it all together and figure it all out ourselves. And what I'm saying is, I don't recommend that you do. And you weren't created to figure it all out. See, God framed the world, framed the universe by his word. And so then, because of that, and he knows how it all works, he knows how it all goes together, he knows your place in it, we frame our lives, we view our lives through the frame of God's word. And we become a person who begins to understand who God is through his word. If you want to know about me, you read a bio about me. And you begin to understand who I am a bit. Well, God has left us one detailed bio of who he is and how he deals with the world. And if we want to be the hero we desire to be, we have to view the world through God's word. The thing as well in this verse I love is that it ends with what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And just a super simple short thought. God is the only one who can create. The Latin word is ex nihilo, and it means out of nothing. God is the only one that can create matter from nothing. Everything we create from what has already been created.
Yeah, that's right. That's true.
we manipulate and we form and we fashion from the sources, the resources that we have. But every resource that we have, even the invisible ones, gravity, came from God. And so I think that's an encouraging word, because maybe if you're in here today and you feel so far away from the person you desire to be, you feel like, man, I don't even have a desire to know God through his word. I don't even have a desire to follow God's ways over my ways. Can I remind you today that God is the God who creates ex nihilo, who creates out of nothing. And my belief for you today, and our prayer as a team, and the whole reason we showed up today, is that God would create something in you that doesn't even exist yet. And he's the one that can, and he is the only one that can. And that's our prayer for you today. So to be an old man with a good report, the second thing you need is to bring your best. Bring your best. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. Now, this story goes back to Genesis, and after Adam and Eve had sinned, and then their children, Cain and Abel. And it's an interesting story, and there's a lot of detail in it and a lot of really interesting things you can pull out of it. But basically what happens is Cain and Abel come to bring an offering to God, and what it says is that Abel brought the right offering. And we could dissect the story and get into all the reasons why. I'm telling you, Abel did the right thing, Cain did the wrong thing, because God even said to Cain, and if you know the story, Cain murdered his brother Abel because he was jealous and angry at him. So obviously there was something going on in his heart way before this. But God even says to him, Cain, do what's right. Sin is knocking at your door. Do the right thing. He encouraged him. But yet Cain didn't. And so The simple truth that I want to pull from this, by faith Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did, is this. Abel brought his best. Cain brought what he decided, not what God instructed. What does God instruct you to bring? He instructs you to bring yourself. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Other translations, I like the way the New Living says it. Some of you may have heard it, to offer your bodies to God as a living sacrifice. I like the way the New Living translation says it. I plead with you, give your bodies to God, give yourself to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he finds acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. I was thinking about the other day, the other morning, I was standing with my boys, and I don't do this every morning because sometimes some are asleep and I have to be out the door at different times. But at this time, I was sitting and kind of reading my Bible, and I had some worship music going on, and my boys just kind of came in one at a time randomly and sat down. They understood what was going on, and they just sat down and they began to raise their hands. And and their little hearts just began to worship God. And I pulled us together and I said, hey, I want to tell you about one of my favorite verses. Galatians 2:20 says, for I am crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live today in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I kind of talked them through that passage and what it meant a little bit. And here's the very simple thing that I try to do every single day and what I was leading my boys in is that we were bringing God our best that day. We were bringing God ourselves. And we were saying, God, I'm crucified today. My old self, the way I want to act, the way that I want to be, the way that I want to think, all the things I know that are inside of me that want to go against you, God, today that's crucified. That's my old self. That's not who I am today. But today, the life I live by faith in the Son of God, in that Jesus lives in me today. And so all I want to do is encourage you. If you want to be the hero you desire to be, if you want to be an old man with a good report, just day by day, keep bringing yourself. Day by day, just keep offering yourself to God. Simply saying, today I recognize my weakness. Today I recognize my tendency to fail. Today I recognize my tendency to do and say and be what I want to be, not who you want me to be. And so today, God, I'm yours. I'm bringing you my best. Would you honor it? Would you lead me? And I'm telling you, some of you, that even something as simple as that, I'm not saying you need to start by spending an hour in prayer and worship every day, work your way towards something like that. But I'm saying if you're in here today, mom, dad, teenager, and you don't even take that moment before your day starts rolling and it gets away from you, I'm just saying start there.
Yeah, that's good.
Today, God, I'm yours. Maybe you want to memorize Galatians 2:20. And you just want to begin quoting that every day and just saying, God, I offer myself today, because that's a place to start. Number three, above all else, live to please God. Above all else, live to please God. I love this story about Enoch. You may have not even ever heard of him. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. I've just always fell in love with Enoch, and we don't know much about him. All we know is in the book of Genesis, before the flood, when it was saying that what was going on in the times is that men weren't following God, men were being wicked, they were going their own way, and there was violence and probably a lot of what it looks like today.
Wow.
It says, but there was a man named Enoch. And God... basically, it's not saying that it says clearly Enoch did not die. God literally just took him one day.
Wow.
You know, we saw this with the prophet Elijah in the Old Testament too. He didn't see death. They're really the only two that we know of. There is a talk about Moses going for a walk with God one day and he never came back. So we don't, you know, maybe he got taken or he got killed. I don't know. But Enoch, I love this idea that he lived in a way that God took so much pleasure in who he was. And I'm sure, I guarantee you, he wasn't perfect. Because he had the same sin tendencies as every single other person. But he set his heart to please God above all else. And I want to ask today, who are you living to please? Really? And the reason I add really is because really reveals a lot. Really pulls back layers and exposes motive. Who are you living to please? Meaning at the end of your day, the person that you want to say, well done. Who is it? Because here's the truth. If we live to please ourselves above all else, we're going to make decisions accordingly.
Yeah.
You'll do what feels right, when it feels right, and that will rarely be right. If we live to please others above all else, we'll make decisions accordingly. You become a slave to the opinions and the preferences of billions of other broken humans. And what they want of you is how you're going to mold and change and transform, and you become this chameleon that you really don't even know what your original color was in the first place. You're just changing yourself to fit whatever other everybody wants from you. And if we live to please God above all else, we make decisions accordingly. And his promise is that he knows the plans he has for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And here's a ground-shaking truth. If you truly want to live to please yourself above all else, if you truly want to please others above all else, you must truly live to please God above all else. Because your ultimate joy and the ultimate good of everyone else around you and those that encounter you is found within living a life to please and honor God. Your ultimate joy, if you really want to please yourself, I'm not talking about doing everything the way you want to do. I'm talking about God putting his heart in you so the things that please him is actually what begins to please you. Because the Bible says that he gives us good desires. I know when I came to Christ, my desires changed, and the things I used to love, I didn't love anymore. I began to love what God loves and hate what God hates. And the things that God hated, I didn't want anything to do with it. And yet I have to keep reminding myself of that sometimes. And at the same time, the best thing for Johnny is for me to live and please God above all else. The best thing for Brett and for Charity and Kayla and Philip and Gerald, the best thing for you is for me to please God above all else and live a life to honor him. That doesn't necessarily mean you'll always be the most popular person. Actually, Jesus guarantees you probably won't be. But the true good of everyone else around me is when I follow Jesus above all else. And the very last thing is expect a reward. Expect a reward. If you want to be an old man with a good report, expect a reward. Because it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone that comes to him must, one, believe that he exists, and two, believe that he rewards those who earnestly or diligently seek him. What he's saying is, if you're going to have faith, you have to believe he's going to reward you. Those are his words. His words speaking through the Apostle Paul. And I'm telling you, if you want to be an old man with a good report, know where you came from, bring your best every day, above all else, live to please God, and expect him to reward you. He rewards you with purpose. He rewards you with joy. He rewards you with strength. He rewards you with peace. He rewards you with direction and guidance. He'll reward you with provision. He'll reward you with a life that outlives you. And that's what I'm hoping for today. All of these guys, all of these women that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, it kind of continues to go back that they lived a life that outlived them. Wow. Which is why we're reading about them today. And today, you can be the hero you desire to be. If you begin to walk in some of those ways. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, that's me. I want to make a decision today to be the hero that I desire to be, the hero that God desires to me. I want to be an old person with a good report by faith. If that's you today, would you just lift your hand? If you're in this house and you're saying, that's me, that's who I want to be today. God, I'm just asking right now in the name of Jesus that you would pour out your life into the people in here with their hands lifted, God, that are saying, that's who I want to be today. Those who in their heart are saying, that's who I want to be today. God, pour out your life into us. Give us the strength. Give us the courage. Give us the desire. I'm asking right now, God, that you would create the desire in people that don't even have it right now. You are the God who creates ex nihilo, out of nothing. So today, right now, in the name of Jesus and by the power of your Holy Spirit, create something in hearts today where there is nothing, where there's not a desire for your word. I'm asking that you would give us, especially the men in this house, young men, old men, all men, give us the desire to love your word above everything else. God, give us the desire to bring ourselves to you every day, saying, I'm a sacrifice today. I lay myself down. And God, I'm asking that you'd live through me today. And if you're in here today and you even haven't taken the step to give your life to Jesus, or maybe it's been a long time that you've just been trying to do this thing by yourself, and you're saying, today, I want to renew my commitment to follow Jesus. Here's the good news, that Jesus lived the life that you should have lived, and he died the death that you should have died in your place. And on the third day, he rose from the dead, and he offered the free gift of salvation to everyone who would believe. And not only that, he promises that he'll give you his spirit. His spirit that caused Jesus to live a sinless life, he'll put the same spirit in you to lead you and guide you. And if that's you today, just pray something like this. Jesus, I want to know you. Jesus, I want to follow you. Lead me today. Forgive me of my sin. I recognize where I've fallen short, but I'm asking that today you'd pick me up, that you'd live in me, and you would lead me. Thank you, Jesus. Do it today. Thank you, Jesus.